Good morning, everybody. We're going to start now. We're holding down the bottom of the base of the base. Marcus, three lines from the bottom. So now we're going to the fourth case, or the fifth case. We said that there are five cases where you don't do the regular halakha of Edom Zarim. So what was the fifth case? The fifth case we had from Rabbi Akiva. We said Mishum Rabbi Akiva, so if we go back now, just to see the case, we'll go back to where the lines get wide, the fourth wide line. Fourth wide line from where it gets wide, four lines down. So we'll try to see the case again for Rabbi Akiva. What does Gemara say? Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Amru, we said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Af Ein Mishalmin Al Pi Atzman. Also, they don't pay through themselves. Meaning the Edom Zarim don't pay through themselves. And what in the world do those words mean? Let's go back to see the Rashi we saw earlier. So Rashi, it's seven lines up from where the lines get narrow. Right before it gets, the lines get wide in Rashi, it's seven lines up. Over there, the Rashi on this Gemara. What does Rashi say? Ein mishalmin al pi atzman. The Edom Zarim do not pay through themselves. What's the scenario? Let's see Rashi inside. Im huzmu bevestin, if they got huzam invested, meaning if the bestin already made them edim zormi. That was already clear. Meaning two witnesses came and they said that Reuven owes Shimon $10,000. Right? Two edim came to bestin, they say Reuven owes Shimon $10,000. Good? So bestin says, true. That's true. We say, fine. We give a verdict, Reuven owes Shimon $10,000. Then what happens? Then two edim come and they tell the first set, what are you with us? Right? So Bestin officially labels these guys as Edom Zarim. Bestin stamps these guys, you first group of Edom or Edom Zarim. However, what happened? What should be the next step in Bestin? What's the next step? Once we decide that these guys are Edom Zarim, so the first step is you guys are Edom Zarim. Therefore, Reuven does not owe Shimon $10,000. That's first of all. Right? Second of all, what's the second step? Now you Edom Zarim, you owe Reuven $10,000. Because that's the halacha. Whatever you plan to do gets done to you. Right? So we're saying like this. First of all, they said you guys are Edom Zarim. Therefore Reuven does not owe Shimon $10,000. However, what should be the next step? The next step should really be that the Edom Zarim owe Reuven $10,000. But what happened? Let's see Rashi. V'lohi speak ba'aldin. Baldin didn't have time, meaning the original person who was accused, la'amidan bedin, to stand them up in judgment, al hazamatan, on the fact that they did hazama on him, ad shabarchu, until they ran away. So now the Edom Zarim ran away, uba'u bebetin acher, and they came to another bestin, vohodu shohusmu bebetin plani, and they agreed that they got hazama in a different bestin. Ulkamama farishtai, Rashi, later we're going to explain the reason. So again, this case is, when did they get it? What happened was, which stage are we holding in? The best that already stamped these guys, you guys are Edom Zarim, right? However, they didn't officially stamp them that you guys owe Reuven, the original one accused, $10,000. Then they ran away. However, we said they went to the next town. And the next town, they decided they wanted to do tshuva. So they tried to do tshuva in the next town. And they went to another bestin. They said, by the way, we're Edom Zarim. And the other bestin never officially gave us the ruling that we owe the accused $10,000. The halach is they're off the hook. That's what Akiva says. Now, Agmar wants to know why in the world they're off the hook. Regular case of Edom Zarim is that what you plan to do to the accused is done to you. Whatever you wanted to be happen to the accused happens to you. Which means if you want the accused person to owe $10,000 to someone else, you owe him $10,000. So let's go back to Al-Gamar. Let's see, that was the case we're quoting. Let's go back three lines from the bottom to Al-Gamar. Gamar says, my time with Rabbi Akiva. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Akiva? What's the reason? So Gamar answers, Kasavra, Kziho, Knasahu, that the Edom Zarim, the reason why they pay is really a Knas. Meaning it's a penalty. And so what? So what if it's a Knas? We're saying Edom Zarim is a penalty. And so what? But the halacha is knas and mishalim al pi atzma. When you have a knas, when you have a penalty, you cannot pay through yourself. Even if you admit that you owe a penalty, your penalty is off. The only way a penalty fine can be placed on you is if the judges put the penalty on you. but by the Eidim themselves coming and admitting they owe a penalty, then they don't owe the penalty, they no longer owe the fine. So first of all, we have to understand why is Eidim Zovim in a Knas.
What about the original base term? We went back
to... Also then, once you agree to the Knas, it seems like also that they're not either going to give you the Knas. It seems like once you admitted it, it's already coming from you, then even the other best then no longer can give you the Knas. That's what it seems. It seems like that for the Rosh Hashanah, but that's what it sounds like. They didn't say it clearly, but I looked at it yesterday, it sounds like that's the halacha.
So all somebody has to do is run away and admit someplace else, he gets himself out of it. They say, you weren't there, well, we're not here either. That's good.
You're saying people are always going to do that? Fine, I hear, I don't know.
What I thought the final ruling was that they get lashes, no matter what. That's what you checked yesterday.
No, that's not the fine. The fine is that you have to pay. The fine is, the knas is you have to pay whatever you plan to do to the other person gets done to you. Why is that a fine? Because in the case of Edom Zodomim, right, what happened? Two witnesses that come and say, Reuven owes Shimon $10,000, right? Now, right now, did Reuven pay it, the $10,000? No. In Edom Zodomim, Reuven did not pay Shimon the $10,000 yet. That's the case. And still, the witnesses are paying the guy who they accused $10,000, even though they didn't make him lose any money, correct?
Reuven didn't decide to make Reuven.
They didn't pay, but the reality is Reuven never lost $10,000, right?
It's
not a compensation. And still the Edom Zodomim are paying him $10,000. Must be, it's a fine. He didn't really make it, it's not a compensation. It must be, it's a fine. That's the thing one wants to say. Now, that was step one. First of all, we're saying clarifying that Edom Zodomim is a fine. The fact that Edom Zodomim has to pay the accused money, even though Reuven never ever lost money, that means it's a fine. That's step one. Now what's step two? Halacha is, whenever there's a fine, judges, the fine has to come from the judges. The only way a fine can be placed on you is if the judges put it on you. Not if you admit it. Now why? Not if the Edom put it on themselves. Now what's the svara, what's the logic behind that? The answer is, there's not so much logic behind that, it's a pasuk. Rashi brings down, let's see Rashi, two lines for the banim. Rashi brings a pasuk from the Gemara of Havakama, a different case of Knas, not to get confused. Rashi brings a different case of Knas, where we see over there, you can't, if you admit a Knas, it doesn't work. The fine has to come from the judges. And then we bring it over to our case of Edom Zodomim, we bring that same rule that you can't admit a Knas. Rashi brings a different case from a Gemara of Havakama. Let's see Rashi, two lines to the bottom. Rashi says, Uknas en mashalem al piatzmo. Why? Rashi says, you don't pay a Knas on your own when you admit it, you don't pay a fine. Dechtiv, because the pasuk says, Gabe Kefil. Regarding the halacha of Kefil, Asher Yashiun Elohim, that you have to be found wicked by Elohim over there means the judges. Elohim means the powerful one, the judges over there. It doesn't mean Hashem's name, it means the judges. If the judges find you guilty, then you pay the fine of Kefil. Prior to the exclusion of Lamarshia, someone who makes a Rasha et atzma, someone who makes himself a Rasha. Meaning like this, what's the halacha over there? Over there, what's the halacha of Kefil? The halacha of Kefil is Reuven steals from Shimon $10,000. Let's make different names, so it's not as complicated.
It is exclusive of Edom Zodomim.
Levi and Yehuda. Levi, we'll use different names. Levi stole from Yehuda $10,000. Good, Levi stole from Yehuda $10,000. Now, best thing is to wonder what happened. They call Levi and they say, Levi, did you steal $10,000 from Yehuda? He says, no. So they say, swear. We have witnesses that say, you stole. So he swears that he didn't steal from Yehuda. Levi says, I swear I did not steal from Yehuda $10,000. That's what happened. Now what happens? Now, Bestin has two witnesses that say you for sure did steal. Right? Against his swear. Halacha is he has to pay double. Levi owes Yehuda, if he stole $10,000, he owes him $20,000. The pasuk says, called Kefel. Kefel means double. A keflai is double. So again, Levi stole from Yehuda $10,000. Right? Levi stole from Yehuda $10,000. Good? Bestin has said, we think you stole. He said, I swear I didn't steal. Then two witnesses come to Bestin and say that Levi did steal from Yehuda $10,000. Halacha is, you pay double. You pay $10,000 that you stole, plus an additional $10,000. It's called double. You pay kefil. Now that extra $10,000 is what? It's a fine. It's a penalty, right? Again, Levi stole from Yehuda $10,000, right? And he swore that he did steal it. And now, what happens? Bestin gets two Edom and says he did steal. You pay double. So that's a penalty. And what do we see over there? Over there the pasuk says, only asher yashi'un elokim. If the judges found you guilty, you were eating, let's say, then you pay him double.
That's the Mardin?
No, we're not
even... I mean, they finished everything.
What do you mean, why didn't
you? Yeah, what did he miss before? He missed as soon as he was arrested or something.
No, there's a white thing. Bestin already said you're off the hook. No, what happened was the guy came to Bestin. Bestin said we have one aide, let's say, that said you stole $10,000 from Yehuda. Mr. Levy, you stole $10,000 from Yehuda, right? He did only one way. He said, I swear I didn't steal. And that's it. They said, swear you didn't steal, we'll let you off the hook. So Levy said, I swear I didn't steal, and they let him off the hook. Fine. The next day, two witnesses come to Bestin and say, we saw Levy did steal $10,000. Right, which comes out, Levi he swore falsely about the stealing. Bestin calls Levi back in and said, now you owe $10,000 to Shimon, but Levi, you owe $10,000 to Yehuda, plus another $10,000 fine.
You paid double. Now he wants to admit it.
Too bad, but they ate him already. If on his own Levi came to admit it the next day, then you only pay $10,000 if he admits it.
Before the judges made.
But if the judges through Aiden made him, they caught him, then the halacha is he has to pay double. And who he has to pay double to? Yehuda. The Torah says the fine goes to Yehuda for some reason. It's a question why, but it goes to Yehuda. So you pay double. First of all, you pay $10,000 to $10,000 for stealing to Yehuda, plus another, he gets another $10,000. You owe him a fine. Now with there, the Gemara explains the halacha. The pasuk says specifically, you only pay kefil of asher yashiun elokim. If the judges over there find you guilty of lying, that you didn't steal, that's when you pay double. But if the guy admits it, let's say, one day he says, I swear I didn't steal. The next day he says, you know what, I read some Ganamunah last night, I'm doing tshuva, I did steal. And he admits it, he only pays one. So that's the Gemara that teaches us, you only pay a fine if you get caught from the best thing. If you admit it on your own, then you don't get a fine. Now that halacha we brought over to our case of Edom Zayin. Because we said, in our case of Edom Zayin, right, two Edom come and say, Reuben stole from Shimon $10,000. Right? Comes out to Edom Zayin, the whole thing, right? What does Bestin say? Reuben, you two Edom owe Reuben $10,000. Even though Reuben never lost money. Because we never charged Reuben to pay Shimon. Says a Knas. So we say, Knas, you don't pay. So that's where we succumb to Rabbi Akiva and says, if a guy admits that he's an Eid Zorim and he owes money in another Bestin, you don't pay. Why? Because the Bestin has to put the penalty on you. And since in this case, the payment of Eid Zorim is really a Knas, therefore you can't admit it. Has to come from the judges.
In the case of Eid Zorim, the entire thing is a Knas. The whole 20,000, not just...
Correct. That's to say, don't get confused in the two cases. But in the case of Kefil, only the second half of the money is a Knas. Eid Zorim, the entire thing is a Knas, because Reuben didn't lose a dime. You said Reuben stole $10,000 from Shimon. The end wasn't true. Reuben didn't pay a dime to Shimon. And you owe Shimon, Reuben, the entire money. Correct, the entire $10,000. So the reason why it's a knas here is because you didn't do anything wrong. And you didn't really make it, meaning you didn't make Reuben lose $10,000. So let's see Rashi again, inside again. Let's see Rashi, two lines to the bottom. Rashi says, "Uknas eno mishalem al pi atzmo." You don't pay a knas through yourself. Why? Because it says Gabi Kefil regarding the halacha of Kefil. Regarding the halacha, when you have to pay double by the guy who stole it pays double. What is the case by with Levi and Yehuda? What does it say over there? Asher Yashiun Elohim. That you found to be wicked by Elohim, by the judges. Prat to the exclusion, Lemarshia et Atzmo, someone who makes himself wicked. Someone who makes himself viewed as wicked, who says that he lied. And he's admitting it on his own. That's our Gemara said. Let's go back into the Gemara. 2 lines to the bottom. I'm a Rabbi. Rabbi says, Teda, I'll bring you a proof that in Uzomim, that your payment is a Knas. What's my proof? There, 2 lines to the bottom, based on my basis.
So it's the same Knas in most cases. It's Knas of 10,000. Just in the case of Kepo, he has to give back the 10,000. The first
plus.
But the first 10,000 you have to give back anyway.
Yeah, plus.
Admit whatever, that's the first guy's money. But
plus another 10,000.
But the Ganas is 10,000.
Got it, over this, over
the
there.
The Ganas also here is 10,000.
Fine, let's use the same number, it's fine. But over there, you were paying back double what you stole.
You give back what you stole.
plus another knas, correct?
So the double amount is all that's considered a knas, even though he stole.
No.
One half of the compensation and not a knas?
No. First half is
dinei mamonos and the other part of knas?
Yeah, first part is dinei mamonos, the first 10,000. The second 10,000 is a knas, in the case of kefal.
Fine.
In our case, no one stole anything.
It's
right.
Because no one stole anything. If he admitted it, he still had to pay 10,000. You still have to get back to 10,000.
Yeah, for sure. True, of course. In that case,
so
like.
So the knas is only. You have to additional 10,000.
Correct.
Then the knas is 20,000.
In which case? Everybody's going back and forth.
No.
Which case you would?
If we take a case of, so Levi stole 10,000.
Right.
They accused him of stealing 10,000. The witnesses, the Edom Zomim, accused him of stealing.
You're in Edom Zomim now.
Accused him of stealing 10,000.
Cool.
Then they're found to be Edom Zomim. They end up paying 20,000.
No.
No. That's the was never given. The first 10,000 was never given. It was just another change.
Because Kasher is a man. Because he would have had to pay 20,000. If they were correct, it would have been a Gemara.
I said, you're saying much more complicated case than the Gemara is saying. They weren't saying a different case. They weren't saying in Zoma this guy stole from another guy.
Why not?
That wasn't the case. Rashi's bringing capable for
it. But why not? Why? I'm talking about that case now.
No, if you're mixing both cases in one, you're saying the Gemara wasn't mixed that. You would be right. Correct. You would be right.
Yeah.
It tends to be.
Rambam on this. Lam himre sheiv shamu einam mishalmim ela lomar shafapi shalosh shamu mishalmim mihu kivan dechi lo shamu mishalmim knasa harei leolam ve'ein mishalmim alpi asmam ve'rabbi kiva klum sheim amru huzamnu bebeit din ploni ein mishalmim afalpi sheshalem apiem ela imken הודו באמת, עדות שקר, העדנו, דוודאי משלמים.
נכון, זה דבר.
גלו גרע מדינה, דגרמי לדן עדין כסבר.
נכון, that's the thing that I mean, right. That's right, you're correct. That's right, that's the Rambam. But let's first read what the Gemara says. I'm going to read what the Rambam said, because most of the Allah first he takes from here, then he added about Dina the Gavi.
So help understand what's going on.
True, perfect. So, good, perfect. Now we're going to say, I'm a Rabba, Teda. So now we're going to see what where Yaakov just read from the Rambam. We've seen it in our Gemara. I'm a rabbi, Teda. I'm going to bring you a proof. What's my proof? Sharei lo asu maisa. In the cases of Edom Zomim, Sharei lo asu maisa. No action came out because of the Edom Zomim. Meaning, Reuven never actually laid out any money to face Shimon. And still ben haragim, they get killed. That's Rashi's Gersa, not the Rambam. The Rashi's Gersa specifically says, U'misham and you'll pay. Meaning, in a regular case of Edom Zomim, we never ever killed Reuven. We never made Reuven, the accused person, get killed or pay any money. Correct? In the case of Edom Zomim, the accused person, we never charged him any money, and we never killed him. Correct? In a normal case of Edom Zomim. And still we see the Edom Zomim get killed or they have to pay money. So it must be it's a knas. That's what the Gemara said. Correct? We're saying nothing ever happened to the accused. Right? In every case of Edom Zomim, the case of Edom Zomim specifically is
no money's changed
hands. No money's changed hands. That's what Rav Nachman said. I'm a Rav Nachman with Teda. I'll bring you a proof to what Rabbi Akiva is saying is true. That the payment by Edom Zomim is just a knas. What's my proof? Shaharei mamon b'yad b'ilem. The money is still in the hand of its original owner. I mean, the money is still in the hand of the original accused, right? The Edom Zomim said Reuven owes Shimon $10,000, right? Now, did Reuven ever actually lose his money? No. Reuven ever lost his money? No.
He never lose his life.
Never lost anything. And we say, Umishalmim, we still see the Edom Zomim have to pay the accused. So it must be the whole thing they're paying is just a knas. Now, the Gemara, and now going on to Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, my new, what is this? What's the difference between Rabba's pshat and Rav Nachman? Meaning, if Rabba said, Rav Nachman and Rabba both seem to be bringing a proof to Rabbi Akiva. I said, what? They're both saying the same thing. Why? Let's see Rashi. Right, let's see Rashi. The top Rashi on Gimel Amud Aleph. Rashi says, Maini. Rashi says, Hi, this mamon v'yad ba'alav. These words, that the hand is in the owner, and that the money is in the hands of the owner, the Ka'amar of Nachman. Hainu, this is, de'lo na'ase maisa. This means that there was no action that came out. Meaning, the savior of Nachman, he's saying the same thing as Rabba said. Because right? What did Rav Nachman tell us? Rav Nachman told us, the money never left the hands of the accused, right? That's what he said. In the case of Edom Zomim, the money never left the hands of the accused. That's the same exact thing as saying that no action ever came out because of the Edom Zomim. whether no action ever came through them. When we never took money out of Reuven's hand to get Shimon, right? I can say the same thing in two ways. I can say either we're trying to explain why nothing ever happened to the accused person. Either I could say through the Edom Zomim, no action ever came through them, right? Which means we never took money out of Reuven's hands. Or I could say we left all the money is still by Reuven. I'm saying the same thing in two different ways. Either I'm saying through, I'm focusing like Reuven Levi said, either I'm focusing on the Edom Zomim, nothing ever happened because of them, right? Which means we never took money out of Reuven. Or just focus on the accused person. No money ever left his hands. I'm saying the same thing, that the money never left his hands. Just either I'm focusing on the Edom Zomim, I'm saying no action ever came through them, meaning no money ever left Reuven's hand. Or I'm saying no money ever left the accused hands.
Rabbi and Rabbi Nachman both saying the same thing.
Rabbi Nachman saying
on different sides.
Nachman, they're just focusing. Rabbi Nachman is focusing on the accused person, saying no money ever left his hands, and Rabbi is focusing on these no action ever came through the Edom. So they're saying the same thing. So Rabbi, so what's the difference between them? Meaning, usually when Gemaras have a Rabbi Akiva, comes Rabbi and says, Rabbi said, I'll bring you a proof. The second later, Rabbi Nachman says, I'll bring you a proof. Usually, the way we understand, he's bringing a new proof. Not that he's saying the same thing, right? But I tell you, we have a statement. Then I say, I have a proof, right? Then Reuven says, I also have a proof. Usually, we're not going to be saying the same proof. Usually, you assume we're saying two different proofs, right? So, why are assuming now? They're trying to say two different proofs, but we don't understand what's the difference. That's after the Ritva explained. At first glance, you understand we're saying two proofs, especially if like we're in one city, right? We're in one city, we have a halacha Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi says, I have a proof. Rabbi Nachman says, oh, I also have a proof. You assume he's saying a new proof. So they go, let's see the back end of the Gemara. The Gemara says, so let's read the Gemara's question inside again. My nihudulasa maisa, what is this that Rabbi Nachman is saying? It's the same thing as Rabbi. Dula asu maisa. We never did an action. No action ever came through the Edom Zomim. So the Gemara asks, hainu de Rabbi, this is the same proof that Rabbi is saying. The Gemara answers, no. Say, Ema v'chein amar Rabbi Nachman. Say, Rabbi Nachman also says the same proof. Meaning, we thought Rabbi Nachman was trying to say a different proof than Rabbi. Now we're saying he's not trying to say a different proof. He's trying to say the same proof. So Gemara should say this is Rabbi's proof. And also Rabbi Nachman gave the same proof. The way the Ritva explained it is originally we thought they're said like in the same city. So if two people in the same city are saying the same pshat, you think they're saying two different proofs, right? I say, this is halacha Rabbi Akiva. Comes Rabbi, says, I have a proof, right? A minute later, Rabbi raises his hand and says, I have another proof. You assume he's saying a new proof, right? When I say it was said at two different cities, it was said at two different times. They're both bringing the same proof to Rabbi Akiva, it was two different times. The Gemara just put them together. So the Gemara is putting them together. They're not coming like one after another. So if they were coming one after another, like in like the same base matter, one guy's raising his hand, Rabbi said, I have a proof. A minute later, Rabbi Nachman said, I have another proof. It seems like he's saying a new proof. They were said it two different times. When you're saying, the Gemara should say, V'chein and Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman also, it's like Rabbi was in this room, and Rabbi Nachman was in the next room. We just think they both stated the same proof. So let's see Rashi again, my new. Let's see the top Rashi again. My new. What is this? Hay mamon v'yad ba'alav, the Kamar Rabbi Nachman. What is this? The Rabbi Nachman saying, the money's in the hand of the violin. Hainu, this is the same thing that Rabbi said. The Rabbi said, "The lona asa maisa." No action became through these eden. Meaning, Rashi explained, "Sha'adayin lo shilem." They still did not pay. Ela shenig marti no lo shalem. Rather, it was a gemara did to pay. That's every case of eden zomim. Is what stage are we holding in? We're not holding in the stage that Reuven already paid Shimon the money that the accused already paid. Rather, we're holding in the stage where Reuven did not yet pay Shimon. It was just a gemara. Fine. The Gemara said, "Nechana, say v'chein amar Rav Nachman." So, what comes out of our Gemara? The Chana likes to wrap it up. Meaning, we had five cases where you do not keep the regular halacha of Edom Zomim, right? So today we were going through the last case, according to Rabbi Akiva, the fifth case. He wanted to say, in a case where Edom Zomim wants to admit a different festin that they owe money, we don't believe it. And why not? Because Edom Zomim is a knas, it's a fine. You can't admit a fine when you have a case of a penalty. You're admitting it. If you admit it, we don't give you the fine. The only time you get the fine is if it's put on you through the judges. Where do we learn that from? Rashi said we learned that from the case of Kefa. So again, if I ask Yuchanan. Why in the world don't you pay a knas? Why don't you pay a case of Eidim Zorim in the way they want to admit it in a different pesach? They want to pay money. So why do you have to pay?
It's a fine.
Right. And so what? It's a penalty, so what? What's the halacha by penalty?
You can't pay if you admit it.
You can't have self-admission. You can't pay. So like we learned it from Kefil. That has to be a penalty can only put on me if the judge has put it on me. It has to be put it, because really it's a very strong thing, a penalty. In a way it doesn't really make sense. Right? What's a fine? A fine is a guy, you park in a place where you're not supposed to park, right? They give you a ticket, you owe 100 shekel, right? You didn't damage anything worth 100 shekel, right? It's a fine. Some guy in the area decided was going to set you straight, so you have to pay 100 shekel. So it doesn't really make sense. We're also to put a fine, is to come through the judges. The Torah says something like this is to come, the judge has to put it on you. It can't be from, yourself.
So do you admit you parked here?
What?
Do you admit you parked here?
Maybe speak to this. Tell the guy, Knas, you admit the Knas, what's it called? You don't have to pay. Tell to the judge.
I was wondering, originally this case came about Rabbi Akiva. It was introduced by saying the Tanurabbanan said there's four cases in which doesn't follow reciprocal punishment. So why wasn't this case brought into the case?
Oh, because this Gemara is according to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is the one who's teaching us that this case is Knas. There could be another view on it, but at least there is. So really, Yaakov is asking a really good question. Why is this only Rabbi Akiva? Right, we brought five cases. The first four cases were everyone, right? The fifth case, we said Rabbi Akiva said that you don't pay in a case of Eidim Zorim when you admit the money. Rabbi Akiva says you don't pay. Gemara says why? Because Gemara says some Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds it's a knas. That means it's only Rabbi Akiva. It's not everybody else. I mean, the Gemara is implying that Rabbi Akiva is the only one who's saying it's a knas. Correct? It sounds like everyone else will actually hold that by Eidim Zorim when you're paying, it's really mammon. So how in the world is it mammon? Right? How in the world is it not a penalty? So that's a good question. But I'm not going to go into it right now. It could be it's going to come in the next Gemara a little bit. How it's possible to understand how a person could be Eidim Zorim because should pay for mammon and it's not a fine. What's the logic behind? How can you understand that it's not a fine? It's a good question. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva is saying that it's only Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva comes and says Eidim Zorim is a knas, it's a fine, right? That implies that other people argue, right? They hold Eidim Zorim and it's really money, it's really mammon. So you want to say, how is it supposed to work that it's mammon? It's a good question. Maybe we'll see it when we start in the next Gemara. Because the Gemara is going to speak out that it could be it's considered mammon. The Gemara is going to have a case. The Gemara is going to speak out a case where someone admits on their own Eidim Zorim it's mammon. So we'll see. Fine. That's that. Well, let's see the next Gemara. Chanan wants to go to the next Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman. Sorry, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Fine. So that Gemara ends over there. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman. Period. Next Gemara, new Gemara. Whoever was waiting for the new Gemara, here's your chance. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Second line from the top. Gimel Amar Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Eid Zomem Mishalem Lefi Chalcha. That's Allah. Period. This is where Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav comes to Shir, and this is his Shir. This is what we have quoted from Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. We have quoted from Yehuda in the name of Rav and said this is his Shir. He came in short and sweet, he told us one sentence. This was Shir today. Then he tells, okay, go fight it out. Go work out what I'm talking about, what I mean. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? What did Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Rav? Eid Zomen Neshalim Lefi Chalka. That a Zomim pays according to his portion. That's it, this is a statement. Five words. You tell everybody, have a nice day. I'll see you, I'm going to go back to my learning. That a Zomim, these are his words. That a Zomim pays according to his portion. So my right away asks, what are you talking about? My Mishalem Lefi Chalka. What does this mean? What does this mean, Mishalem Lefi Chalka? What does it mean you pay according to your portion? What in the world does that mean? What do those words mean? Say Elema, if you're going to tell me, if you're going to say that what it means is the following, the high mishalim paga, the high mishalim paga. Maybe it's telling me that this Eid Zomim pays half, and this Eid Zomim pays half. Meaning what? In the case of Eidim Zomim, we have to start putting on our thinking caps and start thinking back. Let's say you have a case of Eidim Zomim. Two guys come and say, Reuven stole from Shimon $10,000. Good? And it comes out there Eidim Zomim. right? What's halacha? Whatever you plan to do, whatever you plan to do to him, we do to you. Correct? Now, how do we work out this payment? How do you pay now? Does each aid, each witness owes $1,000 to Reuven, or they split it? How does it work? Reuven? Reuven says we split it. What?
Reuven would profit otherwise. Reuven would profit in the end.
Fine, he's profiting anyway.
They lied again. No, he
Reuven didn't lie.
He gets 10,000 shekels anyway.
He's for sure right.
Yeah,
he's going to get it. However, the challenge is, do we split it, the payment between both Edom Zonim and Hazor Edom Zonim? So whatever you plan to do to him, we do to you. Now, do we give, like, let's say the Edom Zonim is saying, Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Do they both owe $1,000 to Reuven? Or no, each one owes only $500. Together, they have to pay back $1,000.
So it's in other case when
I was saying, why is he going to talk about it? So wait. So you're right. So like that, you can't split it. So wherever you're going to say, wherever you can split it, you can split it. But even in Malchus, let's
no,
only in Malchus, the Mishnah, let's just wait. Everybody, wait a minute. Everybody just, well, hold on, because the Gemara is going to say everybody's questions. Right? It's a Mishnah lady. Really, this whole thing is a Mishnah lady. We're quoting a Mishnah lady. So you want to say, maybe that's where Yehuda came to teach us. Maybe Yehuda Amarav came to teach us, right? That each one pays according to their portion, meaning each person pays half the amount. We split it, right? Two Edom Zomim come and they say this guy, Reuven, owes Shimon $1,000. Halacha is, we split it. Maybe that's what he means. I mean, we're trying to understand what Rehuda Amarav meant in his shir. He was a very big tzaddik. He said one line. Amar Rehuda Amarav, Rehuda said in the name of his Rebbe Rav, Eid Zomim, Mishalem Lafi Chalko. He pays his portion. So maybe this is what it means. It means when two Edom say, Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, right? Each one pays his portion, meaning you split up the kasher zama, right? That each person only pays $500. So let's see the Gemara again. My, what does this mean? Mishalem lafi chalko. What does Rav mean to tell me each one pays according to his portion? Ilema, if you're going to say it means dahai mishalem palga, dahai mishalem palga, that this eid zama pays half, and this eid zama pays half. Tanyana, I learned it already in a Mishnah. I'm going to learn it in a Mishnah. I'm going to get to it hopefully on Daf Hey, another two Daf. It's an explicit Mishnah. I don't need Rav to come tell me things that it's already said in Mishnayos. That's not Rav's job. Meaning, Rav already knew all the Mishnayos already. So if he's coming to tell me something, unless he's arguing on the Mishnah, because Rav is the latter argue. Rav is interesting. Rav is a Tana Upalik. Rav, he was right in the middle of the Tanam and Amaran. So he has the right, he argues sometimes with Tanaim and sometimes with Amaran. He's the only one. He has the leeway to argue on both. He was right in between and he was big enough. He argues on Tanaim and Amaran. The Gemara is not asking why if he wants, he could argue on a Mishnah, but we don't need him to tell me the same thing the Mishnah said. Right? So the Gemara is saying, Rav, if you want to argue on the Mishnah, go argue. Fine, go ahead. But he's not arguing. We don't need you, Rav, to tell me the same thing that's already said in the Mishnah. Rav's coming this year. Everybody say brainstorm. Smacks at the table, Edom Zomim pay each one according to his portion. I'm telling you, which means each the two Edom Zomim split up the price of what they said their aid is. Right? Yeah. Alright, I'm holding Tanyana. Why it says Tanyana? We learned it already in a Mishnah on Dat Hey. Tanyana. Fifth line on Gimel Amud Aleph. What was the Mishnah say? It's explicit Mishnah on Dat Hey. Amud Aleph. Another two Dat and Makkos. It says Mishal Shalim b'mamon. So Rashi, one Pshat and Rashi is the best thing becomes a third party in the money. Meaning they become like a middleman in the money. Which means, what does it mean they become a middleman in the money? Meaning if you have two witnesses, they said Reuven owes Shimon $10,000, right? So best thing gets involved. They become the middleman. They say, let's try to work out the cheshbon. Let's split it, the money. 500, 500. And then for best thing places a $500 fine on each person. $1,000 on each person. It's a Mishnah that says Mishal Shalim, which means what's the Lashon Mishal Shalim? Rashi wants to say in his first Pshat says they become a third party. Mishal Shalim is from the Lashon of three, like Shalosh. But in Rashi's first Pshat, we'll go with that for now, says Bestim becomes a third party. So Lashon of Shalosh, third. And they split up this debt, right? The Edom Zomim owe a debt to Reuven, right? Because whatever you want to do to him gets done to you, to the Edom Zomim. So they owe $10,000. So they become a third party, so to speak, to make like to split up the payments. They say you owe $5,000 and you owe $5,000. What's wrong, Hanan?
Well,
No, it's just funny that how the Gemara assumes that we've already done this, we're reviewing this. It's according to the Mishnah that we learn three more daf.
No, because Rav knows the Mishnah. We're saying Rav knows every Mishnah. Rav is not. If Rav knew the Mishnah, he knew all the Mishnahs by heart. It doesn't matter to him. It's going to be. But we're saying the Gemara's quoting. The Gemara's saying Rav knew this Mishnah.
Okay.
Rav knows it, not us. We know nothing. Okay. The Gemara's saying Rav knew this Mishnah. Well, why is Rav coming to Shira and telling me a brainstorm? Rav is not a brainstorm. We all know this from the Mishnah already.
All right.
So
Rav only knew this thing.
Yeah, we say three days later. When I say Tanya, we know Tanya. We already learned it in the Mishnah. First of all, also at the time of the Gemara, also they knew the Mishnah is Baal Peh.
Right.
We're in Gemara now. The Gemara, they're not us. We know nothing. They already also knew the Mishnah. So they're saying, why is Rav coming to Shira telling us a Mishnah? We know the Mishnah in Mach. We know the Mishnah is by heart, Rav. We all know the Mishnah is by heart. So what are you telling me? You're coming to brainstorm Chiddush and like go work on it. You're not telling me anything. It's a Mishnah later. What, Rav, if you came to Shir, obviously you're saying something smarter than that. You're trying to add something, change something, you're trying to do something. Right? So again, we say Tinyana, we learned it later on. You might say Tinyana, we learned it, meaning we learned it, we're trying to say we learned it already on Daf Hey. The Mishnah, we learned it. What does the Mishnah say? Mishal Shalim Bimamon, you best thing becomes a third party when it comes to monetary, when the Edom Zomim have a monetary obligation to pay the accused. We do not make them a third party in the Malkus. Meaning, let's say the Edom Zomim came and said, Reuven, we saw him being Michal Shabbos by mistake, and he gets Malkus. Let's say they said, we said he deserves to get lashes. We saw him do a negative commandment, that he deserves lashes, right? Then it comes out it's not true. It comes out they're Edom Zomim. So what should be the halacha? We should, whatever they plan to do to him, we should do to you. So we give the Edom Zomim Malkus, right? Now, do we split the 39 malchus between the two of them? Or do we give each one 39 malchus? What do? Over there, the Gemara says, the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah, I don't know why. The Mishnah says, over there, each one gets 39. So again, if it's a monetary value, it's just a monetary obligation that the Edom Zomim have to pay to him, then we split that monetary obligation between the two of them. $5,000 a piece. If it's malchus, best we say, nothing doing, dudes. You each got to get 39 malchus or whatever you can handle.
So then we're switching the meaning of Mishashim.
So the Gemara really talks about how that works. Good. At least according to the first Rishon and Rashi, it means Besdin, what we're saying is, Besdin becomes we're not switching Kordin. What's Besdin becomes a third party, meaning they get involved in negotiation in a case of money. The Ein Mishashim. No, the Ein Mishashim don't become a third party, meaning they don't start splitting up we don't need a third party to start splitting up what's half of 39. I mean, they become a third party to get involved in how much each guy pays. You don't just say you each owe $5,000. So Mishal Shalim v'mamon. Bestin gets involved to start splitting up the money value. The Ein Mishal Shalim, we do not become a third party. Bestin does not get involved by Malkus. You don't start figuring out which guy gets half, that guy gets half. Everyone gets full blown 39.
Right, but how can you split the lashes when one person could probably handle two? And the other person handles
10. No, it's fine, but we say the maximum is each person would get, let's say, 20. Because you can't really split. If you would do that technically, you would split up 20, let's say, or 19. Or 19 and a half a piece. However you would do it. So you say, really, you should each get 19, I don't know if you could do a half. And then from there, see how much you can handle. We say, if you would split it up, you say, theoretically, each one of you get 19 lashes. But then we could work from there. But what's the tag? What do you get on your... You know, on your paper when you're walking out of Besta, what do you deserve? No, I'm sending to the doctor after. What are you sending to the doctor? Are we sending the paper that says, could this guy handle 39 lashes? Or it's sending with a paper that says, can you handle even 19 lashes they have? So anyway, over there it doesn't matter. Anyway, we say the halacha is, each guy gets 39. So what's the Gemara asking? Our Gemara is asking, the main point is not the mal, because we brought that in because it's the end of that Mishnah, the end of the sentence. The point is, we have explicit Mishnah that tells us that by Edom Zomim, Besdin, yes, splits the fine between the two of them. Right? So Rav came into Shir. Rav said, by the way, guys, in the Zayman, you split. In the case of in the Zayman, each person gets his portion. So what does that mean? If that means each person only pays half the price, each person gets his portion of the payment, the Mishnah says that later. I don't need Rav to teach me what a Mishnah says. The Mishnah later on that page says that each person, you split the fees, you split the fine. So let's see the Gemara inside. Seven lines to the top. Ella, rather, was saying a noob shot. Rather, Rav is coming to tell you a different chiddush. He wants to try a second try. Try number two. Okay, God, for example, the idzom chad minayim. Let's say only one of them become idzom zayim. The mishalim pal gadite, he'll pay his half. And what happened? two Edom come to Beis Din and say, we saw Reuven steal from Shimon $10,000 on Sunday, right? Comes to Edom and say, you guys, you aid number one were with us somewhere else. So they only made aid number one at Edom and not aid number two. That's the story. They only aid one became aid of Zomim. We only have two witnesses on aid number one that he was at aid Zomim, but not on both of them. So you can have a scenario where only one aid became an aid Zomim. So only one of them got accused for being an aid Zomim. Well, we only have two witnesses saying you aid number one got an aid Zomim. So maybe that's what Rav's coming to teach us. If you have a case where only one of them are accused of an aid Zomim, then Rav says he pays his portion, which means, let's say these two Edom came and said, Reuven stole from Shimon $10,000. Let's say that's the case. Reuven stole from Shimon $10,000. Let's say we have such a case. Right? Reuven stole from Shimon $10,000. But only one of them got huzamed, one of them got nailed as being an Edom Zomim. So he has to pay his $5,000. Because at least you got...
They were trying to make Reuven lose $10,000. He only lost $5,000.
Because in the Kasher Zaman, Kasher Zaman, like we said, is really when it comes to monetary, they split the Kasher Zaman. They split the Kasher Zaman. So here, you just get your half. Sorry, what?
I would need to be told that because it's not.
So that's us, awesome. Comes Rav. Oh, comes Rav. That's where Rav has to give us a shear. Yeah. Oh, so that's not a Kiddush. That's a big Kiddush. Comes Rav and tells us a shear. You would think maybe you should pay nothing. Maybe this guy should pay 10,000 rent. You want to say maybe if one guy is paying. Let's say we only have one guy that was nailed as an Eid Zomim. Maybe you should pay 10,000. Right? That's what you're saying here. Maybe you should pay 10,000 because you're the only 8 diamonds.
Each one is losing only, even if you take two of these, each one's only losing 5,000 and they try to make the like lose 10,000. Each one's just saying, cost me 5,000.
So comes Rav and says, there he goes. So comes Rav and says, a chiddush. You know what? Even if you're the only one guy getting becoming 8 diamonds, you only pay 5,000. You only pay half. Because that's the halacha on a half of eight. You're 1/8 zone, you didn't have the story, that's the halacha. Because since in the case we said the Mishnah tells us later, when there's 2/8 zone on money, they split the fine. So comes Rav and says, Ashir, what happened, you guys? Brainstorm, I have a case for you. I have a chiddush for you. If let's say only one of them become an 8 zone, Chana, what would you think? Let's say only one becomes an 8 zone, maybe you should pay 10,000. In the case where you both 8 zone, you split the fine, right? Today, when only one of them became an Edom, so only one person is paying the fine, maybe, he should pay 10,000. Comes Rav this year and says, no, only 5,000, only half the cost. So that's a chiddush. Right, we can understand, but it's a chiddush. We need Rav to tell it to me. Without Rav, we wouldn't know.
He's guilty of being guilty, but don't you have to have two? The Gemara's going to
lose right
now.
Yeah, fine. Before right. Before the Gemara's question, at this point, try to focus. You're right. Hanan's
makes
ready.
Sense.
Excited for the next Gemara. Right now.
I mean, it makes sense that, okay, he caused damage. He's still higher. He's still liable. He caused damage for half. He should pay half.
But you could say the other way.
Nachon. You could say the other way. You could say maybe he should pay the whole thing.
He testified that he owes him 10,000. And he's totally lying. He's scheming. So nail him with the whole thing.
But you have to have two to make it. That's only after the fact that we found out that he's standing alone, the other guy's standing alone, because he's a Hanan, you're right.
But you always have to focus on the Gemara at this point. I mean, at this point you have to understand what the Gemara means. I mean, you're telling me the next point of the Gemara. At this point you have to know what the Gemara understands at this point. We're trying to understand the Gemara.
I mean, I can see this for having him pay the whole thing too.
Oh, okay. That's it. So I would think you should pay the whole thing. Come before you know you're a new halacha, because we don't know as much Gemara as we at this point. We don't know what the Gemara is going to say. So at this point, maybe you should pay the whole 10,000. Only one guy's getting nailed today. Maybe the whole thing falls on you. Sorry, you're you know, next time get your act together. Make sure the other guy.
So juggling several of you. In America.
Fine. So comes the Gemara and says that's not even true.
How much juggling seven? Oh.
But this one, Rob would say he only owes
half. They said that he stole, like, so he wouldn't have paid Kefal.
It's just Adam kind of best to say you stole, you don't pay Kefal. Only if you swore that you didn't steal, and then we catch you, you pay Kefal. We're in a normal case. He's not a complicated case. Yeah, so we're in a very simple case. Nahon, you're right. I mean, we're saying it's pretty simple. Good, fine. Fine, very good. So why does it say, fine, let's just finish this one line, we'll go over to tomorrow again. So why does it say that can't be? But Tani, we learned that a Braisa, Ain Eidzomeh Mishalem Ashes Mushneim. There's no such case. The halacha is you cannot be an Eidzomeh until they both become Eidzomeh. There's no such thing of only one guy becoming an Eidzomeh. So we thought Rav's case is when one guy becomes an Eidzomeh, then you still pay half the price. I say it's not true because the Gemara say it's not true. You know why? Because there's a Gemara, actually it's funny because this Gemara actually doesn't even come from Max, the Gemara Chagiga, that says there's no such thing of an Eidzomeh. Have one person Eidzomeh, it's to both be Eidzomeh.
That's true for the 15 in the group too?
Yes, they all have to be Eidzomeh, everybody.
They have to all be accused and convicted of Eidzomeh.
Convicted of Eidzomeh. Not only, fine, yeah, we'll stop here, but that's what we'll try to go over this tomorrow again tomorrow, so everybody should try to see until the Mishnah tomorrow with the Rashi.
Rav, you need to go on the Halakha. Right, no, Rav,
sorry, Rav, you need to add a new thing. I want to confuse them, right, you're saying that.
If they did, the Rabban, what does he say in the case?
So,
the Rabban,
I didn't look that up.